And Justin, what do you have to sell today? Is there any question who your starting quarterback is?
Yeah, Justin's our starting quarterback. I mean, Tyson's the backup, came in, did a nice job. You know, and then we'll, again, we don't know where Justin is. We'll see where it is. We don't know if this is going to, it's a week-to-week thing, and we'll assess it more tomorrow.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yes, indeed. It's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew, and that was Matt Eberflus after the game, and he's sticking with Justin Fields. It's just a question of when, and that's an interesting answer. He also gave an interesting answer, guys. He was asked why they took Tyson Bagent out for that final throw at the half, and I got to admit, it went through my head, are they protecting him or maybe protecting his passer rating or something? I didn't understand why. He said that Peterman has the stronger arm and that Peterman can really throw it a country mile, so that's why they made that change right before the half.
Yeah, Olin, I get that. I understand that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I have a bigger question. Why did he not get to take the final snap in victory formation? Wouldn't you want to be out there with your teammates celebrating Soldier Field? To me, that's a coaching decision. I want that young man to experience, feel. I mean, the crowd's going crazy. That's the one I didn't understand. I understood putting Nathan Peterman in, and if he's got that arm to get it, 55 yards, 60 yards, whatever that throw would have been from behind the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. But my question is, why did he not get to take the knee? I mean, how fun are those for you, Olin, when you've got a game like that, you guys have worked your ass off, all 11 of you, isn't that just rewarding, that formation, that feeling at the end of a game?
Yeah, the best thing about that is when you're being fake and telling them great game and stuff after a win. Like, you're really thinking you guys suck and we're so happy to win here. You're just trying to be humble because you're so happy you won, right? Yeah. You're right, Pat. It is a great – taking that victory knee is always awesome. But there were a few things in that game, right? There was the like he took the ball to start the game. I thought that was interesting to do with a rookie quarterback, you know, at home with the crowd, you know, the crowd noise, put your defense on the field. And then it looked like they didn't really know what they wanted to do in that 2-minute drill. And then Peterman, hopefully his arm's okay, because literally he took a shot like at that, on that arm at the end of that half there. But I think I remember doing that, Pat, where they would have the quarterbacks throw it as far as they could and see who could throw from what yard line. So, you know, if Peterman could throw it in that end zone, I don't have a big problem with that. I wouldn't have started the game taking the ball, but it all worked out for them. I mean, I think they went three and out to start the game, which is worrisome, but they end up with the win anyway.
You know what's fun, though? Is we get to talk about these questions with a win. When you lose, it's like, oh, this is because you lost. This is why you lost. This is why you lost. But it's so much more enjoyable to have these questions in games after you win. And I've thought, I've been trying to rack my brain around that halftime situation and not burning the timeouts. And there's times in games, I think as a coach, you get a feel of what's going on. I think they knew they kind of had them already. And then they knew the Raiders had the ball coming out of the second half. They had that holding call that put them back, I think, to the 32-yard line. They started at the 42, went back to the 32. And then to me, it's just they were limiting them getting the ball, saying, okay, you're not getting two for one. One before halftime and one after halftime. That's the way I felt about that was a coaching decision in that moment, that he was limiting possessions for that team. Hey, we've kind of got them. We're owning the line of scrimmage. We can come out in the second half and still do that. If they, you know, we're not down, they're not going to come out and blitz us all day long, but we know we can run the ball in the second half. To me, I think that's why they did it, just to make sure they didn't get that extra possession of a potential. It would have been, 14-6 if they kick a field goal, 14-10 if they get a touchdown somehow, but you go in at 14-3 and you feel a lot more comfortable after what you did in that first half running the ball.
It's just very few teams are taking the ball because, you know, it's that two for one of getting the ball to end the game and then somehow getting the ball to open the second half. So it is an unusual thing. I know he did it before. Did he do it in the Commanders game? I don't remember when he did it, but it's just all of the math would tell you not to do that, that you yeah. should try to get the extra possession out of it.
Yeah, for sure. I was surprised, especially with a rookie quarterback, right? I was surprised. Right. But a couple things, like Pat is talking about, maybe just a feel for what your team, what will get your team going, what will get the crowd going.
Right.
Maybe they thought putting Bajan on the field early, if you could get them going, make a play. Now, that didn't work out, but credit the defense for holding up immediately. Yeah. Now, they credit the Raiders a little more for missing a 41-yard field goal, right? But things just kind of went their way, right, today. Things, you know, whether it was the ball bouncing off Josh Jacobs in the Tremaine Edmonds' hands, whether it was Davante Adams dropping a touchdown, whether it was the field goal kicker missing a 41-yard field goal, all those things happen in games, and I'm glad it was the other team making that mistakes.
Yep.
All right, 312-644-6767 is the number. We've got Arizona Jack with us now. Hi, Jack.
Hey, how you guys doing out there?
Good.
I'm great. Hey, listen, this game was great. Here's what I got out of this whole deal. He's a winner. He really is. I saw one play. He was throwing one way, looking one way, and throwing the other way, still had his eyes opposite direction. That guy is phenomenal. I really like him a lot. Now, here's another thing. Who's going to start next week? You know, I think a fan favorite will be voting for Tyson. The coaching, that's another story. I don't know what's going to happen about that. Who would you say?
Thanks, Jack. They're on the road, right? They're in San Diego. Is that not Sunday night football, I believe? I think if you can get Fields back, you might prefer him on the road in a nationally televised game. It just off the top of my head. What do you think?
We got the answer, right? The Lovie Smith answer. Justin Fields is our quarterback. So,
right, but
I mean, that's who it's going to be when he's healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
but does that change? What if he's not ready and Beijing continues to play well? And then I was looking at the schedule, guys. The Bears have one home game. I'm just thinking about the Bears fans and that caller right there. He sums it up perfect as a Chicago Bears fan that we've been living through so many quarterbacks that you want the backup to be the stud. They have one home game in the next five games. That might be a great thing for Justin Fields because if he did start struggling at home, what are the fans going to do?
Oh, yeah. They're going to
boo him.
They're going to boo him. You're right. They're going to boo him.
But the other guy.
You know, Arizona Jack asked, you know, he said, who would you start? And I got to be honest, man, I do want to see Bajan again, right? And
it's
just an interesting story. I don't know if I'd start him over Fields, Pat, but I think I would let Fields let that thumb heal one more week, if you know what I mean, right? I suggest to him.
What do they do?
Well,
they
go to good.
They go to Dr. Bowen and say, come up here. We need to get a coach in the coaches' meeting. Hey, Dr. Bowen, need to make sure this x-ray, it doesn't look real good this week, does it?
No, that's a two-week injury, right? That's a two-week injury you got at least there.
And
because, you know, credit a little bit here to Luke Getsy, right? Because Bajan, I think, Molly, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't he at the Senior Bowl with Getsy? So you know that Getsy's probably is with this guy, and he's the one probably fighting for this guy to be elevated to the backup quarterback, probably fighting for the Bears to bring him in and just kind of believing in this guy that whatever he showed Getsy at the Senior Bowl, that this guy has, Manly, maybe what it takes to be an NFL quarterback. And like we all know, you never know until you walk in the building, until you're playing the game. And like I'll just keep saying, for 1 week he did his job. No one's saying he's an all-pro. No one's saying he's a pro bowler. Manly, the one thing I always thought about, I was wondering what you guys think about this, Molly. The quarterback sneak is an interesting play to me because really good quarterbacks, guys who can process information like Tom Brady, are good at the quarterback sneak. You want to know why? They can find a gap in the defense.
Yep. Yes.
They see it before the ball is snapped. Today, he did that. And again, it's just small, right? It's just a small thing, but he went right to me. He went right to where I thought he should have went when I was watching the play and stuck it in there and got the 2 yards. And then I think their second leading tackler was out for the game. He got hurt, if you guys remember that play.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is when I watch quarterback sneaks, Pat, a lot of times I can see what quarterbacks can see the field through the quarterback sneak, as crazy as that sounds.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't sound crazy to me at all. That's the details of that position.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what makes the difference in those guys. Those little things that become big things. That's a third down you're not punting. Because if he tries to go up the gut, he might get stuffed. They shift it down to like a five down right along. They go right up, head up over the center. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he saw it over the right guard. Like, hey, I can get out there. And I don't know if that's coaching as well or is that as, you know, it's got to be a lot of things. But those little details are huge in the NFL.
And that, one small detail.
That's a great point, Olin.
Olin kind of pointed it out. Arizona Jack is like a gunslinger name. And listening to him, he really sounded like he was from the Old West.
Sounded like he got off his horse in a couple cocktails.
I was just worried about where I am now if someone starts calling me Bannockburn Olin. You know what I mean? Like, that wouldn't be good.
Uh-oh, now everybody knows where you live.
Yeah, leave the bottle. John is in Burr Ridge. Hey, John. Hi, John.
I it's been great listening to you all morning and afternoon. I do it every Sunday. And I really do hear you guys trying and struggling not to have a quarterback controversy. But I think we have to have one, and I think we do, because there are too many things that went well today, including the line, the communication with the line, the reads that he made, the checkdowns, and the placement of the ball that he placed it when he had to. He stretched plays. He scrambled within the pocket in very heady type of activity. I thought it was really encouraging, and I think he deserves another week, like Pat says. I think you give him another week, see what he does. And then you probably are going to have a quarterback controversy if you get another good performance from this kid. And it was great to see a power running game again.
If he goes to the Chargers and wins that game, then I would agree.
On a Sunday night in a national televised game.
With the whole league watching, I would imagine you've got a quarterback controversy. And you know, this could be a moot point because we're operating under the assumption that Fields will be back. He may not be back, so you may not have a controversy at all. But if you know, Brandon Staley, obviously, under a lot of scrutiny and in a lot of trouble, but he's a guy that was here under Vic Fangio. He is a defensive-minded guy. You would think that he would go to school on this kid and try to come up with something. So I think it's a really big spot, an interesting spot, and if he ends up getting that start and they have success again, maybe that answers itself. He's got as many wins as Justin Fields.
Well, so if he goes out there and wins, that's two wins, right? That means Justin Fields has four wins in a year and a half. That'd be two wins in two games.
Wow.
Granted, it's two different seasons, two different years, and all that kind of stuff, different opponents. Yeah. But, you know, if these things – this is actually – I'm so happy to be talking about this because it's entertaining and it's fun for us and it's a win, but it's also a good problem for the Bears to have.
Right, it's the 31st ranked Chargers defense, right? So it's not good. Just a quick look at them. They're not a great defense right now. I think they may be worse in the league against the pass. So, you know, like we talked about, if Justin Fields is completely healthy, I'm sure the Bears are going to go with Justin Fields. I'd like to see Bajan on the road, to be honest with you. I know what Justin Fields is. We know what the Bears' their draft situation is next year. I think you got to see what you have at Halas Hall.
Yeah, but won't that game out there be more like a home game for the Bears? Do the Chargers draw anybody?
In that might Angeles, be another. I don't know. I don't know.
You know what I mean? That might be another help for Bajan.
Yeah,
that might be some help for Bajan because it won't be a like walking into the Superdome or whatever they call it now or some other stadium, Minnesota or something like that. So that might be helpful for him.
Let's try Randy. He's in Spring Grove. Hey, Randy.
Hi. I just wanted to say real quick that I've listened to you guys forever. I bought a Mac jersey when we first traded for him. Had to get rid of it because we no longer have him. Bought a Fields jersey. Now I don't even know if we're going to have him. Then I hear you guys on the pregame. And the coaches are bad. We don't play Deontay Foreman. He's inactive in previous games. And the guy is lights out now. We hear about Luke Getsy, who is a dynamite coach all of a sudden. And Eberflus, who is a dynamite coach all of a sudden. In the pregame or any other time in the world previous weeks, the guy couldn't do anything. Now,
Randy, they're 2-5. You know that, right?
Yeah. They're two and five. The performance dictates how you view them. Don't you agree? I mean, you can't act like, you know, wow, these guys are coaching the hell out of it. I mean, it's been ugly.
Yeah, it's been really ugly. That's why I want to enjoy. I can't wait till this is over to crack a beer with the guys doing the same thing.
Why wait till it's over, Pat?
Yeah, I don't know.
Randy said they had the first pick of the draft last year. That means you're the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, what kind of analyst work should we have done, right? And we keep saying they for 1 week, right? And they got to do it again. But for 1 week, you got to give them their credit today for the way they played. Yes. I don't think anybody on this show said Getsy was a dynamite play caller, right? I don't remember anybody saying that, right?
Nope.
The defense has played good for three weeks.
You know, Olin, I wrote it down because that was the first thing you said for 1 week. And I mean, listen, we'll take it. It's been forever. Mm-hmm. It's been hard to follow this team. And it's glorious that for 1 week you feel good about the Bears. But I, you know, if Matt Eberflus, so now we're a game in, right? Matt Eberflus went into this game needing to win 6 of the last 11 in order to not have the worst winning percentage in 2 years as a Bear head coach. That belongs to Abe Gibron. And unless Matt Eberflus puts together a series of wins, win back-to-back games might be a nice effort. We haven't seen that happen in a while. So this is their first home win in a year. In a year. That's hard to be a season ticket holder.
Celebrate.
Exactly. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
But let's. No one's getting over the top.
Olin, remember at Hallis Hall, all the pictures of all the former teams and all that kind of stuff? And I think it might have been in the video room. I forgot where it was, but it wasn't the video room. Maybe it was in the hallway to the video room where it had the coaches' records. And I always remember seeing Abe Gibron's record. And I was always like, how do you be that bad? How is that possible? And we're kind of going through it right now. So I just wonder I always wondered what it was like to be at Hallis, or I guess the old Hallis Hall then, during those times. And we've been going through it now as analysts and – so, yeah, enjoy these wins. They have not been a lot, and hopefully he doesn't break that record of Abe Gibron, because I just remember looking at that and being like, man, what was that like?
Yeah, and we're living Abe Gibron, but I sure remember Walter Payton's picture, and that dude was jacked.
Yeah.
Right? Holy moly, was that a big running back.
Abe Gibron was not jacked. He was pretty hefty.
Yeah.
I remember that of that picture.
Yeah, that's true. I got a great Abe Gibron story if you ever want to hear it. All right, we've got we're going to get back to your calls. 312-644-6767. You are listening to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew on Chicago Sports Radio 670. Score.
Hats off to Chris Morgan. You know, Chris Morgan did a really good job of setting up those runs, you know, during the course of the week, and did a really good job in terms of, you know, the protection. You know, when you're dealing with a rusher like that, you know, I think we did a solid job of that, you know, disrupting his timing and his pass rush, all pro player, and you certainly got to be able to take care of that guy. And I thought we did a solid job of that during the course of the day.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, yes, indeed. It is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. And I thought that was a great moment where Coach Eberflus in the postgame gives a nod to Coach Morgan and the job that the offensive line did. And, I mean, I just wonder, among our takeaways, we start talking about, oh, look how, you know, great the quarterback was, and maybe he should stay in that job. I'm really curious, do we believe that the offensive line found something? Do we believe that the running game found something? Like, how many of these guys have impressed to the point where you think, you know, that might be a nice way of lining them up?
Well, just like against the Commanders, for 1 week we did, right, Molly? For 1 week, they played a good game. Now, listen, there was, you know, there were times in that game where Bajan is different than Fields in a way that he doesn't trust his legs or his feet as much as Justin Fields trusts his. So he gets the ball out, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, there was, I remember there was a, I think there was a holding call. I think it was on Borum. They're in first and 20. The Raiders bring a blitz. The right side of the line is beat. But Bajan hits Mooney over the middle. The ball comes out too fast for the blitz to get home. And that's, you know, if that's Justin Fields, that might be a sack there, Pat. So a little different there. But like Coach Flews talked about, we talked about the way they spread the field, whether it was jet sweeps, whether it was reverse to Tyler Scott. They had them off balance in the run game with the tosses and the cracks. And we talked about that going into the game, Pat, that that's what they should do to keep a guy like Crosby at bay, and they did it. And they did it well, and then they motioned in, and they faked cracks, and they did things to, to keep him just off their quarterback. There were times where he did win, and Bajan got the ball out and didn't take the sack, and credit to the young quarterback for that.
Yeah, there's a texter here that said, to me, this is an indictment on Getsy as an OC. And I do kind of question that, though, because this was a game plan set for Tyson Bajan. And there's times we've argued, why are they doing certain things? Like last week, the first play, why are they doing certain things with Justin Fields that we know what his strengths are, but you're still force feeding him into your offense? And we saw it with Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky. And that's a good point there by the texter. And today, like he said, credit to Morgan for the protection and plan, but that's Getsy had a good plan, but why can't he figure out a plan for Justin Fields? I think a lot of people are probably asking that right now, you know, in Chicago as fans and all that kind of stuff. But what he did today and how he game planned today and put that young quarterback out there and gave him a chance to win, and he went out there and operated and did a darn good job.
Did I see briefly Jatari Carter at right tackle?
I don't think I saw that. Yeah, okay. I missed that too.
Maybe I'm delirious.
No, you're probably not. You know what?
You might have seen him in there for the kneel down. He was taking everybody else out. Okay. What'd you say, Olin?
I did see Flew's jacket. I'd like one of those. You know what I mean?
You know a guy. You know a guy named T-Med.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, and I know I'm not getting one. Yes, you're correct.
Come on.
George will give you one. He just sends you a bill a week later.
Oh, shoot.
I mean you. I don't mean everyone. I just mean you, Olin. I was making it.
I can't blame him. Have you heard the things I say on the radio?
Let's try Jay. Jay's on the south side. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys.
Oh.
How y'all doing, man? Go Bears, man.
Absolutely.
Jay, did you just drop a beer?
Yes, I did.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I've never heard that before.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, but I do think y'all need to pump y'all brakes on Bajan right now, the Bajan mania, because to be fair, he wasn't even the top. Like, the best thing he did was not turn the ball over for us, but that defense played lights out. That defense haven't played like that in the past 2 years. The running game was solid. It was like runs on back-to-back plays. Like, it was a lot of downhill running. And then the offensive line made sure could nobody even get close to him. It was a couple holding plays, but besides that was a clean pocket. Also, and this is my last thing. Bajan just feels like a game manager, and I don't see nothing special from him. And the Bears don't need another stopgap quarterback. The Bears need a special player and a future Hall of Famer.
Okay, thanks, Jay.
Oh, let me ask you guys this: the way the game was called, the way the O line was running or blocking, and the run game was going. Yeah, I mean, can you? Justin Fields, I think the game would have been the same with Justin Fields, right? I think the outcome would have been the same. I thought the game was dictated by the O-line, the running game.
Yes.
And if you have that same game plan and can move the ball the way they did, it doesn't matter who's at quarterback, but I think you still have to give Tyson Bagent credit for what he did, for being where he's come from and what he was asked to do and the spotlight and all that kind of stuff. Do you guys agree?
I'm just going to pump my brakes, I guess, on my Bagent mania.
I know. That's what we're sitting down. Mania
that we're doing here on the post-game show. Look, to your point, Pat, again, we'll repeat what we said. He came in and did what a backup quarterback was supposed to do.
Yeah. Right?
And the Raiders didn't play good football. The offensive line played well today. They ran the ball. Credit to the offensive line. A lot of talk around through the years, and I've said it before, that a lot of the run game is due to the fact that a lot of people are scared of Justin Fields running around. Well, today they didn't have that advantage, and they still ran the ball, right? So Justin Fields wasn't there to threaten the edges with his legs, and the Chicago Bears still had a lot of success running the ball today. So credit to them for going out there, putting the game on the offensive line shoulders. And like Coach Flew said, credit Coach Morgan for getting his group going. And there was a lot of talk through the week of how many combinations this been, how many different offensive lines this has been to start the week. And here they are playing a good football game.
Mm-hmm. Would they have won with Fields? Would they have won?
In today's game, I think the answer has to be yes, right? We can watch everything the Raiders did with Devontae Adams dropping the ball, with them coming out, getting some momentum, and then Jacobs getting hurt, the ball popping off Jacobs' shoulder, then Edmonds getting the interception, and then missing that field goal on the first drive. Yeah. The Raiders did not play a good football game today. The offensive line and Deontay Foreman dominated. I would have to say yes, that even with Justin Fields at quarterback, it would have been the same result.
Yeah.
And the Bears dominated that crucial turnover statistic, as we know. Mm-hmm. So
that
that's pretty impressive stuff. Let's try Kenny. He is a longtime member of the Bagency from West Virginia. Hi, Kenny.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, just wanted to chime in real quick. Never in a million years would I think I'd be calling a Chicago radio station from West Virginia. But, hey, we're kind of following Tyson a lot and been watching the kid for 7, 8, 9 years. High school through college. I have two daughters that go to the same university. Shepherd plays softball there, and it's been very exciting to watch him over the last 4 years. Two or three-time high school state champion also in West Virginia. So I think that the kid's moxie, his confidence, is something that's hard to shake. I've watched him on the sidelines at the University of Shepherd, and his demeanor doesn't change. You don't know if he's up or if he's down. He just sticks to the game plan and goes for it, and he's just a kid that you guys are going to like there, I think, given the time. And don't sleep on his legs. He can move. Don't sleep on his legs.
Hey Kenny, I got a question for you. What do you think he and his family are doing right now? What are they doing in downtown Chicago?
I know his dad. I know his dad for a long time, and I can tell you one thing. He is probably breaking somebody's arm if they want to go on their arm wrestling table.
That's a perfect answer, man.
Yes.
That's hysterical. Thank you.
But he showed everything Kenny's talking about, right?
Yeah,
and the things that people are excited about. And he did look like that on the sideline. And he showed through this whole thing that this moment is not too big for him. That he's ready for it. And he's going to just do what his job is to do, right? And he wasn't asked to make any plays today. He didn't have to make any plays today. He didn't have to run around and try to, you know, they weren't down by 10 or 12. So he didn't have to try to push the ball down the field. He just had to check it down to his playmakers. They ran the ball. I mean, to start the second half, Pat, like you're talking about, they had a false start, and then he just tossed it to Deontay Foreman, and he goes for 14 yards, right? And they're they're right back. Not behind the sticks. They're right back in a favorable down and distance. And that is always good for a young quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And we've got our who's hot and who's cold. And I believe we have Dante Foreman or the entire running game. I just think when a guy has that many touchdowns and has like the game of his life, we should go with the running back. Who cares about the offensive line?
When you go with the running back, Mully, you went with the offensive line.
100%.
That's it. Exactly. So we'll do that. And then as far as who's cold, I am very amused that we had a suggestion from Olin for a guy. Do you want to break the news to him, Olin?
what is his name again? In a victory formation, when you're 2-5, you shouldn't be doing backflips.
We know
who we're talking about.
It was the punt.
Yeah, the punt returner. You probably shouldn't be doing backflips in victory formation when you're 2-5. I tell you what, as to hot the offensive line, a guy who's taking a lot of heat. I thought Lucas Patrick played a hell of a game today at center.
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
He did.
Yeah, that's good. And Cody Whitehair, a pretty good player after all, right? So there's a lot to like about what they did. We should tell you that the Who's Hot and the Who's Cold is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency call, the plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Let's get to Andy. Andy is driving on I-64. Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys. I'm just thrilled. A thing to me is the identity of this team forever has been about defense. And, you know, the first several games of the year, they don't have the secondary. They're not really attacking. The whole difference these last several games is they're aggressive. They're dictating the play. They're able to blitz a little bit because they've got corners that can cover. And, you know, when you see a really good defense like that, that's Bears football. I mean, because let's face it, we really haven't had a franchise quarterback since the late, great Sid Luckman. You know, but also running the ball, you know, just that smash-mouth football, that's Chicago Bears football. And you guys asked about the late Abe Gibron and those teams. I actually remember them. The reason they were that bad, their offense was run the ball twice and throw an incomplete pass, and the only time they ever really moved it was when Bobby Douglas would scramble and get a first down. Maybe that sounds a little bit familiar. But those teams, you know, even though they would lose, the next week, the team, if you beat them, and you usually did, the next week those teams would lose because they beat them up so bad, they were still physical, even though they lost. That's what the Bears are about, is physicality.
Great stuff. Thank you. Bajent, by the way, ran 3 times for 24 yards. It's pretty effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we've
and
got
even
to,
even on yep. toss plays, right? I thought yes. like guy, you know, the offensive line blocked well, but like DJ Moore is blocking defensive ends. Mm-hmm. I just think that they had a good day today, being physical and everyone doing their job to get that running game going like it was.
He did. He blocked down on that guy on that one around end. That was very good. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got one more timeout. We should let you know this is the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. We'll be right back on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
First down and 10 for the Raiders in real trouble here.
They're going to have to air it out vertically downfield at some point.
We haven't seen that much today.
Can't wait too much longer. Those quick outs to the sidelines won't suffice.
Warriors' long pass of the day is 15 yards, and it's intercepted! Picked off by Jalen Johnson! Johnson, untouched for the touchdown!
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great! Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It is indeed the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. And that's Jalen Johnson with his pick six. He had a second interception. I'm happy for him. You know, whenever you're kind of trying to get a contract extension worked out, it's nice that you managed to do a couple of things. They're kind of talking about you that you don't do, and he got a couple of picks there. Good for him. And let's hope he is nowhere to be found on the list come trade day on October 31st. I think the Bears need to keep their good young players. Maybe the takeaway of the game is that the Bears have some good young players, and that backup the backup quarterback might be one of them, right?
Yeah, and we talked earlier in the show, the pregame show, that if they did trade Jalen Johnson, that would say a lot in that locker room. You're taking Roquan Smith, moving him.
Yes.
Jalen Johnson, another young, very good player in the NFL, moving him along. I would be shocked if they did it. I don't see why they would. I think corner is a very tough position to find that level of player. But I think that would resonate through that locker room that what the heck is going on? You're taking one of our star players, our best players, and moving another one on? I just hope that doesn't happen. It shouldn't happen, in my opinion. If I'm GM or whatever and running that team, that's a guy that I reward and want to keep around. We all knocked him on not getting interceptions and things like that, but they'll come, and they are coming. And I'd be very shocked if they did that.
Yeah, and he almost had one earlier where he told yes. you, right? Where yes. They put his fingers up. Like, I almost had that one mm-hmm. there, right? Because he was sitting on Hoyer already. And a lot of talk on social media about his orange sleeves and he shouldn't be wearing them. Well, he showed you it doesn't matter what color his sleeves are. He's going to go out there and make plays anyway. But, like, to your point, Pat, we talked about on the pregame show, mm-hmm. eventually you got to take a couple players and say, look, this is who the Chicago Bears are. These are the kind of guys we pay. If we draft you and you develop and you work on your game and you do things the right way and you compete on every play, then we reward you. We reward mm-hmm. you by giving you your contract. So eventually they have to go in that direction. If they did get rid of a guy like Jalen Johnson, after getting rid of Roquan, after trading Khalil Mack, which everyone understood, after trading Robert Quinn, which everyone understood because they were older and the direction the Bears are going in, but you start trading your young guys in their mid-20s, good football players who you develop, who worked hard for you, who played good football for you, then, like you said, Pat and Mully, then maybe you have a problem in your locker room.
Yeah.
And one other point, maybe. You know, it's great to see a guy come through like that. And certainly we know that the Las Vegas Raiders were operating at a deficit mm-hmm. and having to throw the ball. Imagine how that guy would play if you had a defensive line in front of him. I mean, yeah. like a mm-hmm. top-shelf defensive line. And I think I have to keep reminding myself as I evaluate these players what they don't have in front of them sometimes for some of these guys on the mm-hmm. Bears' defense.
Because they have one win from a defensive lineman, and Olin, you said it was against a running back. A one win that it beat somebody one-on-one. Ngakoue has a win, but it was on a twist, and the quarterback held the ball, all that kind of stuff. That's a big indictment to that room, and I said it last year on this show, too. That's if you're in that D-line room, that's embarrassing, right? You have two sacks for the D-line the entire season so far. Last year was just as bad. I mean, that says a lot about it, and you're right. If you had some guys up front, dogs or whatever you want to call it, a game plan changer up front, how much better would he be?
You have the ball to come out early, right? And then, like Molly said, like what if you had a team where you got the lead often, right? What would this guy's numbers actually be, right? So with pressure, where if you had the lead, where guys have to throw the ball more like today, and all of a sudden he's making plays, you have this lead, and they have to force the ball, and now you see where all these other teams, where these guys' numbers come from, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a great point. It goes both ways on the offside of the ball. We talked about the quarterback situation with the coaches and the linemen. And you know, just that is something you always have to consider when you're watching film. I will tell you this. We talk about Gordon being back. I will tell you guys, you know, you want to compliment guys after wins, right? Because we don't get to do it often around here. When you see good football, no one really wants to talk about it. Pat, I will tell you this, Mully. When you watch this film, watch this young man blitz off the edge. It's something to watch, man. He is mm-hmm. a dangerous blitzer. He bends in angles. I keep bringing up Rondé Barber because that's what it reminds me of. He's an interesting guy to watch, Pat.
He is. I think I tweeted something, you know, the next interception, I was figuring he was going to get it because Aiden O'Connell was coming in. And cool for him to be able to play a home game, right? Or not a home game.
Yes.
A game at Soldier Field at his home. Yeah. Very, very cool. But I figure that's a tough situation to come in. I thought he was going to be the guy to get the pick, but I like him as a football player. I'm glad he's back and healthy. And this defensive backfield, they're gelling. So we'll see what we get. I guess we're going to have to wait till next year to get a pass rush, but so far so good.
Well, you know, you could always pick up someone at the trade deadline, give up, you know, a really high pick, and then trade them for a swap of seventh rounders a year from. No, never.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Sorry, I mentioned that. Thanks to the fine folks at Aurelio's Pizza for delivering some great food.
A good day now for Chicago Bears fans. The Packers are the Broncos got them at zero up there in Denver. So
yes.
This day is getting better.
Thank you to Aurelio's Pizza, delivery great food for today's game. Download the Aurelio's app and start earning rewards. Visit AureliosPizza.com. to order from the location nearest you, Aurelio's Pizza. It's the sauce. Bears have a victory. They don't come that often, so enjoy it, and we'll see what happens this week. Everybody wants a quarterback controversy except for the coach. He gave us the old lovey, so we'll find out what that means. Justin Fields is our quarterback, and it'll be a fun week to celebrate a Bears victory. We'll be on Victory Monday tomorrow morning. Pat's getting ready to crack one. Olin, you'll be on with us, I believe, tomorrow, unless you don't
I
want
will
to.
Be on at 7 a.m. with okay, you guys, buddy. As usual.
Yes, that's awesome. And Patrick, you will be on with the boys, I believe, on Tuesday?
Tuesday, right? And then Wednesday with the afternoon show, yep.
Okay, great. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. We certainly appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. Sean Sears, thank you for your great contribution. Stay tuned. Big Ant will be with you until 6:30. This is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. And we're going to dip into the Dew now. Thank you very much for listening on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
First down and 10 for the Raiders in real trouble here.
They're going to have to air it out vertically downfield at some point.
We haven't seen that much today.
Can't wait too much longer. Those quick outs to the sidelines won't suffice.
Hoyer's long pass of the day is 15 yards, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Jalen Johnson. Johnson!
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It is indeed the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. And that's Jalen Johnson with his pick six. He had a second interception. I'm happy for him. You know, whenever you're kind of trying to get a contract extension worked out, it's nice that you manage to do a couple of things. They're kind of talking about you that you don't do, and he got a couple of picks there. Good for him, and let's hope he is nowhere to be found on the list come trade day on October 31st. I think the Bears need to keep their good young players. Maybe the takeaway of the game is that the Bears have some good young players, and that backup, the backup quarterback might be one of them, right?
Yeah, and we talked earlier in the show, the pregame show, that if they did trade Jalen Johnson, that would say a lot in that locker room. You're taking Roquan Smith, moving him.
Yes.
Jalen Johnson, another young, very good player in the NFL, moving him along. I would be shocked if they did it. I don't see why they would. I think corner is a very tough position to find that level of player. But I think that would resonate through that locker room that what the heck is going on? You're taking one of our star players, our best players, and moving another one on? I just hope that doesn't happen. It shouldn't happen, in my opinion. If I'm GM or whatever and running that team, that's a guy that I reward and want to keep around. We all knocked him on not getting interceptions and things like that, but they'll come, and they are coming. And I would be... I'd be very shocked if they did that.
Yeah, and he almost had one earlier where he told yes. you, right? With, yes. They put his fingers up. Like, I almost had that one mm-hmm. there, right? Because he was sitting on Hoyer already. And a lot of talk on social media about his orange sleeves and he shouldn't be wearing them. Well, he showed you it doesn't matter what color his sleeves are. He's going to go out there and make plays anyway. But, like, to your point, Pat, we talked about on the pregame show. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you got to take a couple players and say, look, this is who the Chicago Bears are. These are the kind of guys we pay. If we draft you and you develop and you work on your game and you do things the right way and you compete on every play, then we reward you. We reward mm-hmm. you by giving you your contract. So eventually they have to go in that direction. If they did get rid of a guy like Jalen Johnson after getting rid of Roquan, after trading Khalil Mack, which everyone understood, after trading Robert Quinn, which everyone understood because they're older and the direction the Bears are going in, but you start – trading your young guys in their mid-20s, good football players who you developed, who worked hard for you, who played good football for you, then, like you said, Pat and Mully, then maybe you have a problem in your locker room.
Yeah.
And one other point, maybe. You know, it's great to see a guy come through like that. And certainly we know that the Las Vegas Raiders were operating at a deficit and having to throw the ball. Imagine how that guy would play if you had a defensive line in front of him. I mean, like a top-shelf defensive line. And I think I have to keep reminding myself as I evaluate these players what they don't have in front of them sometimes for some of these guys on the Bears' defense.
Guys, they have one win from a defensive lineman, and Olin, you said it was against a running back. A one win that it beat somebody one-on-one. Ngakoue has a win, but it was on a twist, and the quarterback held the ball, all that kind of stuff. That's a big indictment to that room, and I said it last year on this show, too. That's, if you're in that D-line room, that's embarrassing, right? You have two sacks for the D-line the entire season so far. Last year was just as bad. I mean, that says a lot about it, and you're right. If you had some guys up front, dogs or whatever you want to call it, a game plan changer up front, how much better would he be?
You have the ball like to come out early, right? And then like Molly said, like what if you had a team where you got the lead often, right? What would this guy's numbers actually be, right? So with pressure, if you had the lead where guys have to throw the ball more like today, and all of a sudden he's making plays, you have this lead, and they have to force the ball, and now you see where all these other teams, where these guys' numbers come from, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great point. It goes both ways on the offside side of the ball. We talked about the quarterback situation with the coaches and the linemen, and you know, just that is something you always have to consider when you're watching film. And I will tell you this, we talk about Gordon being back. I will tell you guys, you know, you want to compliment guys after wins, right? Because we don't get to do it often around here. When you see good football, no one really wants to talk about it. Pat, I will tell you this, Mully, when you watch this film, watch this young man blitz off the edge. It's something to watch, man. He is a dangerous blitzer. He bends in angles. I keep bringing up Rondé Barber because that's what it reminds me of. He's an interesting guy to watch, Pat.
He is. I think I tweeted something, you know, that next interception, I was figuring he was going to get it because Aiden O'Connell was coming in. And cool for him to be able to play a home game, right? Or not a home game.
Yes.
A game at Soldier Field at his home. Yeah. Very, very cool. But I figured that's a tough situation to come in. I thought he was going to be the guy to get the pick, but I like him as a football player. I'm glad he's back and healthy. And this defensive backfield, they're gelling. So we'll see what we get. I guess we're going to have to wait till next year to get a pass rush, but so far, so good.
Well, you know, you could always pick up someone at the trade deadline, give up, you know, a really high pick, and then trade them for a swap of seventh rounders a year.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Sorry I mentioned that. Thanks to the fine folks at Aurelio's Pizza for delivering some
food. A good day now for Chicago Bears fans. The Packers are – the Broncos got them at zero up there in Denver. So this day is getting better.
Thank you to Aurelio's Pizza Delivery. Great food for today's game. Download the Aurelio's app and start earning rewards. Visit AureliosPizza.com to order from the location nearest you. Aurelio's Pizza, it's the sauce. Bears have a victory. They don't come that often, so enjoy it, and we'll see what happens this week. Everybody wants a quarterback controversy except for the coach. He gave us the old lovey, so we'll find out what that means. Justin Fields is our quarterback, and it'll be a fun week to celebrate a Bears victory. We'll be on Victory Monday tomorrow morning. Pat's getting ready to crack one. Olin, you'll be on with us, I believe, tomorrow, unless you don't
I
want
will
to.
Be on at 7 a.m. with you guys, buddy. As usual.
Yes, that's awesome. And Patrick, you will be on with the boys, I believe, on Tuesday?
Tuesday, right? And then Wednesday with the afternoon show, yep.
Okay, great. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. We certainly appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. Sean Sears, thank you for your great contribution. Stay tuned. Big Ant will be with you until 6:30. This is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew, and we're going to dip into the Dew now. Thank you very much for listening on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.